Thank you, boys and girls. And we've got a little bit more for you here in just a couple of moments. But thank you, everybody, and welcome to Faith Lutheran Church. It's good to have you with us, and great way to start off our worship service this morning. I thank you, Father, for making me me. A couple of things that we're going to be sharing with you today. First of all, it's just as July went flying by, August is doing the same thing. And because September's practically right on the doorstep, just a reminder to everybody, we get busy in September again, and we have a lot of events. If you have something that needs to get into the church calendar, make sure you get it in early this week so that next Sunday we can have copies of the calendars waiting for everybody. Just before we started worship this morning, I got a count. If you've come in on the sides, and a few more you have this morning, we have shoes for the souls. We've started it. They're lining up on both sides, but we need a lot more. Our goal, usually, with what we've done the past few years now, I'd say is 125 pairs of shoes. We are at 63. Do the math. That's halfway. We're halfway to what we need. We're going to be doing this for two more weeks. Well, we will. In fact, practically probably more like three, because we will be dedicating these to Sunday after Labor Day. So help us out. The schools have talked about a slight preference for slightly larger sizes for the boys and girls. But you know, at some point, get shoes for boys, get shoes for girls, any style. However, whatever you can get that are going to be shoes for the kids, because when these shoes are passed out, most of the time, it'll be the only pair of shoes these kids have. And so whatever we get will certainly be appreciated for that. Don't forget that the bake sale for our CIA, they had it this morning, and it's going to be continuing here. They are raising funds for the 2019 National Youth Gathering that is up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's 2 years away, but they have a lot of work to do for something like that. Also, back in Narthex number 2 are some sign-up sheets for some of our fall Bible classes. Mine will be wrapping up in September. I'm going to have to go on hiatus. More about that in just a moment here. But we do have some exciting Bible classes coming in for fall, and Pastor Steinke is going to be giving us one for the Reformation. A little too soon to talk about some of the exciting stuff we got going on for the Reformation this year, but we'll start talking about that soon. Early last Sunday morning, the Lord granted everlasting life to Bobby Hain. She was one of the charter members of our congregation, signed the charter 60 years ago as a part of our church, and the family actually moved, unusually quickly. We have already had the service this past week, but we do ask that you keep the Hain family in your prayers. And an update on the family of James Keebler, indeed the things that they chose to do have been done now privately, and there will be no public service on that behalf. Please let us know you were here, those Faith Fellowship cards that are in the racks in front of you. And then before we begin our promotion here, I've just got a quick update that barring a couple more tests that I have to go through this week, surgery is scheduled for me this coming Friday. The surgeon said I do that so that the patients can have a couple of good weekends and they only have to miss a week of work. And I'm like, do you know what I do? And so, he said, well, that's when I do surgery. So it'll be Friday. I will be out then the next two weekends. Pastor Gilbert Keene, who was our last vacancy pastor before I was finally called, he will be doing worship for us next weekend. And then the following weekend on Labor Day weekend, I'm going to be meeting with the elders sometime this week. We will have an elder-led service for that. But I'll be back in the saddle as soon as I can, and I will have an update. Hopefully, once they're done with the surgery, they can tell me what really was going on all with this knee and whether I'm facing more surgery or not. At this point, I don't know. So at this time, I turn things over to our Sunday school department, who's got some promotion materials that they would like to share this morning. Here you go.
Good morning. We're so glad to have all of you here this morning, and we are going to do a promotion Sunday for our children. I think a lot of your faces have seen the pancake breakfast this morning. We have a wonderful job, and thank you to the Sunday school staff for helping, and our cooks, Gary and Mr. Thompson, for cooking. You did a wonderful job. Okay, first of all, we have Paige. Ms. Paige, you want to come down? Ms. Paige is going to be promoted to the Little Shepherds class, and she's just recently a new enrollment into our Sunday school. And she also... In our Sunday school summer program, we were teaching the children the Ten Commandments. And Miss Page did the Ten Commandments for us this summer. So she also gets a certificate for that. Congratulations, Miss Page. Want to take that, sweetheart? Okay, Evan. Evan's promoted to the Amazing Angels class. He has 4 months of perfect attendance. He has these six-year Sunday school pins like I have here. He'll have at number six added to his. And he also has done the Ten Commandments during the summer program. Congratulations. And Logan. Logan's promoted into the Amazing Angels class. He has 4 months of perfect attendance through the year. He has his seventh year bar, and he also did the Ten Commandments through the summer. Congratulations. Okay, Miss Krista. Miss Krista, she promoted to the Amazing Angels class. She has 5 months of perfect attendance, and she has her five-year bar, and she also did the Ten Commandments this summer. Congratulations. Christiana. Christiana's promoted to our Amazing Angels class. That's a pretty good class. I think Mr. Miller's got that class. She has 8 months of perfect attendance, and she has her third year bar, and she also did the Ten Commandments for the summer. Okay, Mrs. Alden Verheim, where'd she go? I saw, I see her. There she is. Okay, she gets promoted, she just got confirmed, and she is going to CIA group. She had 4 months perfect attendance, and she gets her 12th year bar for Sunday school. Excellent. Now, this is a little bit different. Miss Leah. Miss Leah is promoted to the Amazing Angels class. She has 9 months perfect attendance, and she gets her seventh year bar. She also did all the Ten Commandments for the summer, but this year she also is going to get, because she had 9 months perfect attendance, she has third place for the Sunday school for perfect attendance because she had 9 months. So congratulations. She gets a trophy today. Aiden. Mr. Aiden, there you are. You're hiding back there. Aiden gets promoted to the Living Disciples class, which is a first-year confirmation. He had 11 months perfect attendance. He gets his nine-year bar, and he also did the Ten Commandments for the summer. And you also get a trophy. Congratulations. Okay, Mr. Liam. Okay, Mr. Liam is in our little Shepherd's class. He had 12 months perfect attendance. He gets his third year bar. He did the Ten Commandments, and he gets our first place trophy for Sunday school. Congratulations. Very good. He's like looking like that's for me. Okay. Congratulations, kids. You all may have a seat in your back. Guess if your parents are here, you can go back and sit with your parents if you like, okay? So you all just want to go down? Liam? I'll go back. Oh, Miss Page, you can go back. Like I said, if your mom and dad's here, you go back and sit with mom and dad, okay?
Is this last place?
No, you got first place. Your first place, you had 12 months perfect attendance.
So is that good?
That's very good. It's first place, second place, and third place. You're number one.
Well, our young people have provided us with a good beginning for this morning, so we're going to skip past the opening hymn. Let's begin our service based on Divine Service Setting 1 with the Invocation and Confession Absolution. It's at the bottom of page 2 in our service folders, or you may follow along on the screen. Friends, as you are able, please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father together. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you. and for his sake forgives you all your sins as a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority. I therefore declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's continue on page 5 with the service of the word with the salutation and collect of the day. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Almighty and everlasting Father, you give your children many blessings, even though we are undeserving. In every trial and temptation, grant us steadfast confidence in your loving kindness and mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for today is from Isaiah 56. God promises to listen to the prayers of Gentiles. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants. Everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson for today is from Romans 11. God's mercy extends to all people. Saint Paul writes, I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means, for I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people, whom he foreknew. Do you not know that the scripture says of Elijah, how he appeals to God against Israel? Now I am speaking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? As regards to the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. A Canaanite woman begs Jesus for help and is granted her request. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away, for she is crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. She said, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of our Lord. The grace and mercy and peace and love of our Father will be with you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has adopted us as his children. Amen. My text, even as we're going to be looking at the gospel lesson, is from the Old Testament lesson, Isaiah chapter 56, verse 1. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. Because of where we live, I'm not sure how many of us are paying attention right now, but coming up this week is a huge event that seems to have drawn the attention of a lot of people in the United States. I'm talking about, yes, the eclipse. And it's the most major eclipse that has come through our country for a long time. I will never forget. I can't tell you why, as a 10-year-old, and in fact, somebody, it wasn't even quite 10, that back in March of 1970, I was up rather late that night, late enough so that I was actually seeing around the time of the 10 o'clock weather forecast. They would have a little clip for the upcoming Tonight Show, but one of the things that, instead of just announcing who the guests were going to be, one of the things they said is, and we're going to be talking about the solar eclipse, because if you miss this one, there won't be another one until 2017. Never forgot that. And 47 years have now passed, and here it is. Now, again, we will only get a partial. I'm going to talk about what even having a partial is like, because that I have experienced personally. But cutting right through the United States, starting in Oregon, then Idaho, then Wyoming, and then Kansas, and just then into Missouri, it's going to cut right through the heart of the United States into Kentucky and, you know, through Illinois. And it just a remarkable event. Let's talk a little bit about eclipses. A couple of questions I would like to share with you. Number one, as long as it is either a total eclipse or most of a partial eclipse, it is safe to look up at the sun and see it happening. True or false? Boy, I'm glad everybody has heard that. Yes, indeed, that is false. Even for the total eclipse, where all you see is the corona that's around the sun, you are not supposed to do that. A number of years ago, when I was a pastor in South Dakota, I had to go to the Lutheran school where my kids were attending. I don't remember what the occasion was that I had to go, but it was the day of a partial eclipse, a lot like what we are going to have tomorrow. And I remember getting out of my van, and the first thing I noticed is that while the sun, at the moment, I had forgotten about the partial eclipse, but when I got out of the van, it kind of looked like, yeah, it was daytime, but it was like I was looking through like two pairs of sunglasses or something like that. Really odd thing. And I went into school for a minute, but the secretary said, no, all the kids are outside right now looking at the partial eclipse. And I get outside, and somebody handed me this little thing that you hold, and we were right where the sun was. So you just hold it in your hand, and you don't look up, you look down. Somehow or another, I had timed it just absolutely perfectly. When he handed me this thing, and I looked down, where the moon and the sun were was at the exact moment where they were just, I mean, you know, it was a partial, so the sun wasn't totally hidden, but they were just right there together. And it doesn't stay that way for just terribly, terribly, terribly long. So let's ask a couple of other questions then about regarding an eclipse. True or false? An eclipse is very dangerous for pregnant women and their expecting children. Well, guess what? That was one of the great myths that was considered common even in the 1970 eclipse. But now that is false, okay? But here's another one. In the areas where there is going to be a total eclipse, even if human life is not going to be affected that much, animal life will be affected significantly. True or false? That's true. And one of the things that scientists are doing is that they're going into these areas where the eclipses are going to be, and a lot of them are there just to study the behavior of animals in the midst of this, because depending on who the animal is, they've already seen just the really strange behavior that they exhibit during a total eclipse. It's different from animal to animal, but it is fascinating, and there's a lot of them. Just a couple days ago, I got word of one of the major league pitchers. They were on the road, and this guy had to go back home. Something was wrong. It was a pitcher. Something was wrong with his arm. They wanted it examined. And even with his salary and how much money he makes and the team helping to get flight arrangements home, he had to wait where he was almost 2 solid days because all the flights into that area, that's right in the area where the eclipse is coming, wherever the eclipse is going, the flights have been booked as people are just flocking into the areas where the eclipse is going to take place. Okay, just a final question here. In the areas where there's going to be a total eclipse, how long is it going to last? Where the sun is totally covered? A, about 24 seconds. B, about 2 minutes and 40 seconds. C, about 24 minutes. And D, about 2 hours and 40 minutes. The answer is B. I don't remember that. We didn't have the total eclipse right where I live, but I remember watching it on TV. I don't remember it being just two minutes and 40 seconds. I included D in there because, 2 hours and 40 minutes puts you close to the period of time where it says, from noon until 3 PM, darkness covered the land for Jesus when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's an indication, whatever that was, it wasn't a simple eclipse because it doesn't last that long. There's a radius of about 70 miles on that path that cuts through the United States. And if you can get inside that 70 miles, yeah, you'll be able to see the total eclipse, but only for between 2 and 3 minutes. Obviously, I've got a spiritual purpose for why I'm walking us through this, my friends, because in those areas, it might be exciting to see something that you've never seen before, where the sun, while it's still up in the sky, all you see is this little tiny ring around it that's called its corona, and otherwise darkness covers the entire land. And it is like the darkness that seemingly has covered our hearts, where just in the middle of a perfect day, when life should be just whatever it has been, in the midst of the blessings that are brought to us each and every day, suddenly out of no place comes that storm. And the storm maybe doesn't even last very long, but it is a storm that only our Lord can bring a solution to. My message for today is entitled "A Real Dog of a Message." And for all I know, maybe up to now you've been thinking, yeah, this is a real dog, but it focuses on what happened today in our gospel lesson. Because this woman was going through a moment of a type of an eclipse of her own. Now, what's interesting about this is, Jesus didn't often go outside the territory of the Jews. He spent most of his time either somewhere around the Sea of Galilee and the communities that were up there, with the Jews that were up in that region of Galilee, or somewhere in or not far from Jerusalem in places like Bethany and like that. Now, Jesus did do some rather unique things. We remember Jesus one time going through Samaria, which is what the Jews usually tried to go around it. And he sat down at the well of Jacob with a Samaritan woman and began to talk to her. That's our hint right there that he did those things. And now here again, he goes outside of Jewish territory into the region of Tyre and Sidon where, yes, you would expect most of the people up there would be considered Canaanites. And here comes a Canaanite, naturally a woman. And this time, Jesus did not answer her a word. Now, there are a lot of times as we listen to the words of Jesus, as we watch him do the things that he does, you know, both as he interacts with those who would be his enemies and those who seek him for the things that he can do for both body and soul. And at each and every point, there are going to be some times when it seems like what he does doesn't make sense. We have to ask ourselves, okay, I must be missing something here. What is the Lord up to this time? The one thing we know about the Lord is that whether he knew that that exact phrase, word for word for word, was going to be coming out of a person's mouth, he knew what was in the hearts of every single person. He knew the darkness of the hearts of his enemies. A lot of times it was the religious leaders, people who are supposed to lead, people who are supposed to be able to help the people learn, people who are supposed to be teaching the truth about God's word. And yet, when it came to genuine faith, they were a fraud. And Jesus could see right through them. Conversely, Jesus also saw when there was great faith, and sometimes that great faith would magnify itself in some magnificent quotes, like a quote from one man that approached Jesus and said, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." And there's other statements like that. So here we have this woman. She cries out, and she is in tears. She is emotional. The world has darkened around her on behalf of her daughter. But somehow, regardless of how she knew about him, how long she knew about him, what she knew about him, besides being the son of David, somehow she knew. Once she found out that he was in the area, here was her solution. And yet Jesus treats her like this. He doesn't say a single word to her. And when the disciples have finally like, well, clearly he's not going to help her, they come up and say, look, send her away. She keeps crying out after us. And Jesus says something that quite certain she probably heard. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Rephrase it. I wasn't sent for her. Nice thing to say, huh? And it gets better than that. Because she is undeterred. She knows who he is. She knows what he can do. And she comes and kneels and says, Lord, help me. What's his response? It is not right to take children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And I have a pretty good idea that more than a few of you here have a dog. Maybe more than one, and you are quite fond of them. And, well, even though they don't necessarily have a place at the table, I have a hunch in at least a few cases, if not more than that, that somehow it's more than just a few of the crumbs that happen to fall from a table, a couple of other little morsels, compliments of a little tiny hand off to the side, happen to make their way down to the floor from time to time. Quite certain of that. Still, no matter what it is and how dear they might be, that's not really a compliment. It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And this is where her faith comes to light. Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. It was her way of saying that she knew that if all she got was the equivalent of a couple of tiny crumbs of what it is that the son of David had to offer, that would be enough to heal her daughter. Her faith knew that no matter what, somehow or another, he wouldn't completely turn her away. There would be something in there, even if it was the leftovers of the leftovers, That would be enough. What about you? Do you really understand, in the midst of the eclipses of your own life, that Jesus really does have a solution for you? That he cares about you, that he is interested in you, that as he is saving us in the times of trial, that here is something that can help us in ways that no one else ever could. But sometimes a little bit of perspective is necessary. There's going around Facebook right now a story of a teacher who was giving a pop quiz to her students. Now, this was nothing new for the students. They came to expect it. They knew that there would be these things from time to time. They put away their books. They get out a pencil and some paper. And then she goes and she passes out the pop quiz, puts it face down. And then after everybody has it, then she tells them to flip the paper up. Only this time, the only thing that was on the paper was a single dot in the middle of the paper. And she asked the students, okay, I want you to look at this and I want you to tell me what you see. Describe it for me. Every single student spent their entire essay, or whatever you want to call it, writing about the single dot, its presence, why it might be there, maybe a little bit about its composition or whatever, and then turned them in. And the teacher had to make the comment, we have one tiny dot in the middle of a page, and not one person wrote about all that was around it. The vastness of the white and the light that could shine onto that. That yes, there was one point that might draw people's attention, but ultimately it was just one point. The point was real. And it's not much different than what it is that we're going to see tomorrow. Because I don't know what the weather forecast is going to be like. For all I know, during the time of the eclipse, it's going to be dark and stormy with clouds. But even if that's the case, on the darkest, stormiest moments, it can get so dark outside during those storms that the security lights in the parking lot and so forth begin to come back on still. That light is there. And tomorrow is going to be a day that is dominated by the light that's there every other day as well. There will be a couple minutes that won't be the case. A lot of times that's our life. It may not seem that way. It's easy for us to focus on the eclipse, to focus on the black dot, to focus on the things that are really troubling and struggling in our life, rather than seeing the goodness of what our Lord has done for us. And that's why I chose the text that I chose. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance will be revealed. When that comes, are we going to see the darkness of terror? Or are we going to see the bright light of salvation? A Savior who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who has called you by name in the waters of holy baptism, who has made you his child, who has placed faith into your heart, a faith that endures to life everlasting, even in the midst of our sin, in the midst of our sorrow, in the midst of our sadness, in the midst of all of the things that would get in the way. Our Lord is constantly bringing to us a light that cannot be darkened. A light that was darkened on Calvary when he gave up his life for us. A life that cost him his life that you might have life. Oh yes, tomorrow we might remember that that short moment of darkness provides for us an eternity of light. But that's what God does. And as God has a message for each one of us that tells us just exactly what he is able to do. That even what would seem to be just a few tiny crumbs ends up being more like a fire hose of the goodness that he just pours down upon us each and every day. May each of us be touched by the grace and mercy and love that God has given to you, because it's real. It is there, and it is to bring us closer to him. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever. Through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. At the beginning of our service, we focused on our students, but we're also beginning the Sunday school year. And so at this time, I would like to ask those that are going to be our teachers for this coming year. And I don't really know what to do except for now ask you to please come forward now. Just have you stand right over here as we do the best we can. So if we could have all of our teachers please come forward. I'll tell you what, let's have you guys kind of stand over there where the people can see you and I can see you. That way we don't have our backs turned to one or the other. So just kind of make a group over there, not necessarily at the railing, but just kind of in a group right where you're at there. And kind of face me, if you would, please. So that way we can see here. I think this will work. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, according to the usual custom of the church, each of you have been assigned special positions of teaching in the midst of our congregation. As we prepare for service to the church as workers, hear what the Word of God says about those who serve in the church. Working together with him, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. From 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Finally, from 1 Timothy chapter 4, practice these things. Devote yourself to them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Friends, you have prepared yourselves to serve as teachers here at Faith Lutheran Church. Undertaking your assignments as one who is preparing yourself also as both teacher and student here. In the midst of all that God has given to you, I ask you this question. Will you carry out your duties in faithfulness? Will you devote yourself to God's word, continually growing in him who is the head, always devoting yourself as a student of the word, that you may serve as a teacher of the word, striving for excellence in all that you do, and devoting yourself to those people that God has given you to continue to help and raise in the nurture and knowledge and love of the Lord? If so, answer, I will with the help of God. I now turn to the people who are the members here at Faith Lutheran Church. My friends, each of you have just heard the special promises that our teachers have given on behalf of the education ministry here at Faith Lutheran Church. Do you promise to support them, to remember them in your prayers, to devote yourself also to the study of God's word, that all of us may continue to grow in him who is the head? If so, answer, we will with God's help. We will with God's help. And so, my friends, I install each of you then as teachers here at Faith Lutheran Church, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Oh God, through the grace of your Holy Spirit, you pour the gifts of love into the hearts of your faithful people. We ask that you would grant ready minds, open hearts, and useful bodies to be able to serve for our people as they now begin their service as teachers in our midst. As we begin another year of service, may our goal always be to grow into you always, to continue to grow in your word, to continue to see what you have done for all of us. May we love you with our whole heart, with our whole strength, to perform those things that are necessary for your people and pleasing to you. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So go in the name of the Lord, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, remembering that in the Lord your labor is never in vain. And may the Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless and preserve you. Amen. Do we have something here yet for our teachers, or is that everything for this morning? That's it? Okay. You can return to your seats, and as we do, my friends, we our service will then be continuing with the Apostles' Creed as we confess our Christian faith together. We'll give people a moment, but let's please stand as we confess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as we receive our offerings. Our offertories, what shall I render to the Lord? Please stand. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For the church, that she may steadfastly proclaim the irrevocable gifts and calling of God, that the disobedient may receive mercy, that those who hear may become branches grafted onto the true vine, Jesus Christ. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this congregation, as we bring offerings and sacrifices of praise that are acceptable to God, that we would be here a house of prayer for all people. That through us God would gather in the lost, the outcast, the widowed, the orphaned, and all who are in need. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the government and for those who protect us at the national, state, and local levels, that they may keep justice and do righteousness, that they may carry out their duties in accord with God's good and gracious will, and that our land would be blessed with honest industry, truthful education, and an honorable way of life. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the sick and afflicted, for those beset with grief and sorrow, for those in pain or trouble of body, soul, heart, and mind, we pray on behalf of the family of James Keebler and Bobby Hain, also on behalf of Arlene Yamada, who has been transferred back into the hospital again. And now we lift up before you, dear Lord, someone in our life that we lift up before you in a moment of silence. That the Lord may answer those who beg him according to his will and have mercy on all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who has taught us to pray together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our service concludes in the middle of page 9, or again, it's up on the screen. Let us pray together. Almighty and everlasting Father, although we do not deserve to be heard, you invite us to call out to you in every circumstance. Grant us confident faith that you hear us, and peace in our hearts that your answers will meet our deepest needs. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.